We are each free to believe
what we want, but no one directs our fate. We have this one life to appreciate the grand design of the universe. This is the information paradox.
You've heard me say this before. I'm going to say it again. Our world has gone to shit. It's been very difficult. We've all been working really hard, trying to get back to normal, whatever that looks like. And it's very complicated. It's very, the rules have changed to reality. Suddenly now you can be multiple genders, you can identify as you want, yet there are still laws in place, and there are still things that we can't change. And we're expected to just go along with it. By the way, I just want to put out a little disclaimer. There's a motorcycle rally going on. So if you hear a lot of excess noise or any weird gaps in audio, that I'm going to try to edit that out. But that is why. And it gets really loud. I live pretty close to the road. And these motorcycles are just loud. The nature of motorcycles. It's pretty awesome. But things are going on in the world that are not normal. We have COVID. Still have COVID. And I made this podcast, it was a while ago, a year ago maybe. And it was in hopes that this was going to end. There's no way the world is going to go this long on this and let our economy suffer so hard. Yet they did. They let our economy crash. And then they're trying to bring back new jobs, calling it creating new jobs. Fucking Democrats, man. Now I need a place to talk. I need an outlet. I need an area where I can say whatever it is I want. And that's this podcast. Thanks for joining. This is the Adam Paradox Podcast. If you haven't subscribed and liked and shared and gotten a hold of me to talk or, you know, give me criticism, whatever it is, ridicule for stupid comments, I don't care what it is. But the idea is that we need to have a conversation about it. It doesn't happen if we all agree with each other. That conversation gets really boring. And if we disagree, that's okay. Knowing where everybody stands on this particular topic is how you debunk and deneutralize, I don't know if that's the best word, all the common misconceptions. That's how we've gotten where we are. So many people have just gone along with it. And now things are changing so drastically. That's now infiltrated my work, my line, my job, my moral ethics and convictions. And I know there's an extent that working in a professional industry, especially with mental health, there's only so far you can go. But then there's also a little bit of push you can give. And that's what I'm not seeing. And we're actually in turn causing more negative impact on people because they say, oh, that's my choice. This is what I want to do. And it's ignoring all the other just substance and you know, details that lie underneath. And it's a big problem in our society, not only with COVID, not only with the job issue, not only with depression, not only with abuse that is happening now more than it did before. But there's so many inconsistencies and it's driving me nuts. Now, I imagine if you're still listening, it's driving you nuts too. But we need to have a conversation about this because there's a lot of gray areas. There's a lot of things that we do agree and don't agree with. You know, there's a lot of stuff that we need to talk about. I'm kind of past the point where, I mean, government is so involved in everybody's lives and politics is so involved in everything we decide now. No one's saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to make the decision for myself. I'm going to go do a little bit of research. And research, by the way, is not looking at the news and just articles online. Now, some of the stuff I'm going to be talking about today is from online, but it's to drive the opinion, to support either a certain view or perspective. That doesn't mean it's all 100% right. That doesn't mean what I'm saying is going to be the way. It's a blanketed statement or anything. Because things have to be critiqued. Sometimes if you don't do that, then it kind of goes on and it does become a blanket statement. It does become only what I think it is. And that's not what I want. What I want is to have a conversation, is to start a conversation, or at least to share what I know to this point. So continue to do your research. Go look at different sources. Let's look at this together, because the more angles and perspectives we observe from this, the more we are going to know just what we can do. But if we don't do that, then it makes it really difficult. And then we don't learn. So one of the common topics that has come across in my line of work is the transgender thing. What's going on with that? Suddenly, kids are allowed to decide they want to be a different gender. Now, like I said, I've been seeing this infiltrate my work, and there is, you know, in my profession. And one of the things that bug me is when I see no support for the parent. And instead, it's, you know, the parent is supposed to support the child. Now, I agree to this, but when it comes to changing genders, how do we say to the parent, well, you need to support your kid in this change? Well, we can get you therapy for that. That's a sales pitch. The parent is the one who paid for the kid. They are the one who raised the kid. And they're also the ones responsible for some of the trauma to the kid. So you can see it's a gray area. There's a lot to talk about. One of the things I'm looking at is kind of how the whole transgender thing. Okay, so being a different gender, that doesn't bother me. I'm not anti-transgender. I'm not anti-gay. I'm not in any of those anti-whatevers. But it's the reasons behind it. It's the trying to push an ideology on other people when it's like pronouns, for instance. Yeah, we all have different pronouns. But we also developed a lot of pronouns based on observations that we can all make with each other in our social construct and language. It's not to oppress. It's not to diminish, degrade. Now, some of these are. But some of these are very neutral. Him, he, her, his, her, she, whatever. Some of them are racial. That is not gender. That is, those are meant to disparage. So let's just make the differentiation there right from the get-go.
That is the stuff
what I'm talking about.
That I don't know that I can accept.
But when they go and say, some say I'm wrong for that.
Pronouns,
that I should be more accepting. I should try to use their pronouns out of respect. Well, yeah, okay. If I'm asked to, I will try out of respect, also out of professionalism. Because it's not my goal to try to create conflict over, you know, the general politics of the issue. It's to get deeper, to get to the deeper issue, the root issue of why this person feels the way they do now. Part of psychology is, why do people do what they do? That is the main philosophy behind it, of studying people, of developing a science of how to observe, make inferences and hypotheses and develop theories and everything like that. And then you can compare it to other people. Well, they likely went through trauma to get to this point, or they likely had some sort of conflict that got them to this point. Maybe there's a genetic reason. We need to explore that. These are all the things that, you know, we talk about when we're discussing these things. But telling me that you're going to get angry with me, that you're going to do something to yourself because I don't use a pronoun that makes absolutely no sense in our English language, that's just bullshit and manipulation. Now, I'm not trying to be mean or unsensitive. But if you're a boy, I observe that you look like a boy, I'm probably going to call you the boy and guy male pronouns. And that's going to be natural for me because that's how I was raised. And that's probably how majority of us were raised. And then someone else comes along and tries to change it. Well, you know what? I need Batman pronouns. I identify as the Bat, the Batman, the Vigilante. And if you don't use my pronouns, I'm going to go wreak havoc on a thug in an alley and murder him. No, I'm just kidding. But do you see what I'm saying? I wouldn't get away with that. I wouldn't be able to go to my, you know, place of business, my work, and go, yeah, you know what? I'm changing my pronouns. You all have to identify me as the boss. It doesn't work like that. Oh, but you're not considering my feelings. And, you know, these arguments, it just doesn't work. But what's happening in the world is everybody is saying, no, you need to support them. They're experiencing gender dysphoria. They don't know, you know, they feel like the other sex, and you just couldn't possibly imagine how they feel. Well, maybe I can, and I'll explain why. And no, it's probably not what you're thinking. It's not because I ever felt that way. It's because of what lies underneath. I also, you know, don't feel good about my body. I don't feel good about who I am sometimes as a person. And sometimes I'm like, you know, I just would rather not deal with people. So I have social anxiety at times. But it's not paralyzing, not anymore anyways. But due to the trauma I experienced, the way I was teased by my own dad, there are things that I just don't like about myself. I was a hairy kid, you know, going 16 on. So I used to shave my arms and legs. Part of it was like sports and weightlifting and everything like that. I just kind of liked to, but there was a part of it I just hated being hairy because my dad is. This was the guy who used to pin me down and beat me on numerous different occasions just for not doing a chore, you know, like going out splitting wood at 9 years old and hauling it in. In 10 degree weather, or 10 below, I think it was. This is my childhood. Like, I had to go out and split wood. I look at some of the kids I work with that are, you know, 8, 9 years old, and I couldn't even imagine them having to go try to split wood. And I'm not talking about, like, with a machine or anything. It's old school. Like, you have an axe, thing of wood, go split it, and then hauling it in. And it wasn't easy work. It was never easy. And this went on till I was about, you know, 13, 12 or 13. And I got to the point I didn't want to go anymore. I didn't want to go visit my dad. Because I finally got a little bit of self-identity from it. But it did a lot of things throughout my childhood, throughout my development. And it made things very hard for me. So I had very immense social anxiety. And I made a lot of decisions based on what I felt other people thought of me. So what happened from that trauma and abuse is I felt I had to gain the acceptance of everybody around me. That doesn't mean that I wanted to. It just meant that I cared what everybody else thought, good or bad. Especially if it was bad. And then I would think about it all night. Because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what changes to make. I didn't know how to problem solve because I was told I was stupid most of my childhood, that I was never going to be as smart, never going to be as good. I couldn't do anything unless I got his approval. If you guys want to know what the definition of a clinical narcissist is, look it up. And that pretty much is my dad. And he's covert. He's charismatic. A lot of people like him at first, and then when they get to know him because he screwed him over, of course they absolutely hate him. And what's sad is, even if you've experienced somebody like this in your life, you may tend to find another person like that. So let's talk about how we fix it. Because it is fixable. It can be fixed. This isn't something that we have to deal with our whole lives. Now, I mentioned I didn't like my body. I didn't like myself. I didn't like how I was. I felt that I had to be in a relationship in order to look successful or be a man, you know. That was what was told to me almost my whole life. I felt that I had to live up to someone else's expectations. I had to work in the family business. I couldn't be my own person. I couldn't go to school and get a degree because, you know, college is dumb and for dummies. And meanwhile, when I go to college, he goes to college. Or he goes to college, I went to college. I don't know which order it was in. Either way, at one point, I even wanted to go get my doctorate just to kind of show him up. Am I still stupid now? I don't have a relationship with my dad, and there's a reason for that. He's not healthy to be around. He doesn't support me in my decisions. If I don't go move there, if I don't go live there and work for him, even though he screws over his whole family that work for him, but if I don't go there, then the conversation gets cut short. I have talked with him probably 10 minutes in the last 5 years. And that's fine with me. Do you guys understand what I did? I identified the root issue that troubled me, why I didn't like myself. And you know what came out of it? I cut ties from him. I decided I need to work on myself. I need to identify what about him I don't like and change what it is that I inherited from him. That was the hardest thing for me to do. And it took a lot of humility and conviction. And I kind of had to study. I had to read a little. I had to read about it to first learn about it. I didn't just go to college and then change my life. But what it did is make me want to be in reality, enjoy the world around me, get rid of the lies and abuse. Part of that was religion. A belief is not a reasonable or rational, you know, way to perceive truth or the world around you, reality. Belief is fallible. That means that you could believe in anything, like we're seeing. We have gender dysphoria, we have transgenders, we have the new, Black Lives Matter, LGBTQ, we have the president. Of course, I'm listing off a lot of political things, but you understand that we have really weird beliefs about things. We have 4,000 different religions and very weird beliefs there too. And this is kind of hard for me because I know these are very touchy subjects, so please don't take them all at face value. Again, let's have a conversation because I'm not trying to ignite or spark any blanketed statement. You know, I'm not trying to make it become a blanket statement that's only these things. But we have depression, trauma, and these are some of the top things that I know this sounds really weird because I don't know how else to fully say it. And I'm not trying to make it, like I said, I'm not trying to make it a one blanketed statement thing. But we have so many things that we believe. Our worldview is what we perceive it because it's based on our environment, our culture, how we're raised, what we are interested in, what we adopt to our own lives. And what I mean by adopting things to our own lives is, you know, your interests, your cult following, your, you know, what you like and what you like about yourself and what you make a part of your life. If you wanted to take a look at my desk, I have robots. I have K2SO, Iron Giant, an IG-11 I recently procured. I have Pokemon, Millennium Falcons, Star Wars. I also have a Pringles can. And I have a mouse pad that has like 1,000 different characters in it. But the idea I'm trying to make is that there are things that we adapt or adopt from our lives about ourselves. And we like those things, and that's cool, right? I'm also, like, in my 30s. Some would say I'm a very childish adult, but you know what? Look at who makes all these things. I admire that. That's something that if I ever had the chance to do, I would love to do it. I also need to develop the skills to do it if I get that opportunity. Some of the things I could do, I could pull off. But it's just exciting, and it's cool, and it's fun. You know, I don't care what other people think. I find other people that like it. It's fun. Have fun. Enjoy your life. But let's get back to what's going on. So like I said, the gender topic has infiltrated the health, the mental health field. And there are some very contradictory philosophies and ethics within this. And one of them is to support the parent in helping the kid, which would be ethical. The most ethical. But then there are some where it's, you don't support the parent and you support the kid because you're working with the kid. The kid's your client. And that's the one you support no matter how the parent feels. But is it helping? Is it really working? Like, is that how we're going to go nowadays? What if we have a kid that's into, you know, older adults? 14, 15, 16, and the adult's 30. Well, we have laws against that. It, you know, put that other person in jail. What if the dad's molesting a child? I mean, we could go all sorts of different ways on this whole philosophy if we just say what we want it to be, and that's the right way versus, you know, looking at it very objectively from all different angles. Looking at the impact, positive or negative impacts. I mean, we can't say that. We can't do those things. We can't say, hey, child, it's okay for your dad to, you know, molest you and everything. I mean, this is his identity is, you know, he wants to have this kind of relationship with you. And that is okay for him. So we need to support him because he's our client. And, you know, you need to just let this happen. We can't do that. So how can we do it for a kid? The parent, like I said, is the one who pays for them, raises them, you know, teaches them all their worldview and ideologies. How can we spin that and make the parent feel like the outsider, the bad suppressor, and how dare they try to say, hey, I raised you. You're a boy, or a girl, and I'm sorry you feel this way. You know, there's a lot of things in our past that I think we need to address. How do we not focus on the problems first? Oh, you want to be a boy? Okay, so why? And I've been looking online for someone to say, you know, I just feel like a boy, or I just feel like a girl. I really have no reason behind it. I like girl things. I do these. My body feels weird. But you know that percentage to actually have gender dysphoria is actually based on a physical condition? That is very, very rare. And I mean so rare, your chances of getting struck by lightning are probably greater. But out of 7 billion people on the planet, the numbers come down to like 10 or 20. That's how rare it is. And it's people that get born with dual genitalia, basically, or one or the other. One's not fully developed, so it's kind of weird. Now, I can understand addressing this like that, but what's happening is a trend going around to everybody, and kids are getting a hold of this information. It's even happening in schools behind the parents' backs. And what they're doing are progressive curriculums comprehensive sex education, gender identity, racist, anti-racist programs. And you understand that there's all these, you know, the schools are teaching them. When I was a kid, I had never known, like I didn't know this until I probably watched Roots, that there was ever a discrepancy between race. I just knew that everyone lived in the world they lived in. I didn't care. But that's what's happening. And they're doing these programs in school thinking, we got to teach little kids about what gender identity is. They can choose. How is that healthy? How did the world become so soft? And everything. Now I understand accepting differences and celebrating differences. But let's not confuse that. The gender thing is a very manipulative game. So I'm trying to find out how do you do that without being manipulative? We saw with Black Lives Matter. Now, I know there are supporters of that. Now, I'm not also saying I'm not anti, you know, BLM. I am saying the ideologies that BLM, entity, you know, the actual structure of it, whoever made it, they have some very fucked up philosophies. I do not support that. But I wouldn't ever say that Black Lives don't matter either. And I hate how people get it mad at people for that argument. And it's like, you can't say that. Anyways, here's the thing. It's really difficult explaining something that is so common sense for some people to the irrational. It's really difficult. And I'm even trying to say it without trying to say something really, really stupid, because that's not the way I feel. That's not the way I think. That's not the way it is. But when you start recording, sometimes things come out a little differently. The only thing is I'm trying not to do it in a way that offends people. I'm not trying to be offensive here. I'm trying to be objectionable, because there are things that we need to look at. Now, there's a lot of regret too when it comes to these gender dysphoric issues. People had changed their physical body type. Some studies have shown that, hey, 96% of them are doing great. And they're happier after they made the transition. But I see problems for that. Because if you go and transition and are transgender, odds are... Man, I got notifications and pop-ups and noises from everything. Stop texting me, people. Odds are you're going to have to find somebody else who is also transgender. So now you're a woman transgender man, and then you're a man transgender woman, and you guys find each other, and now you're basically in a heterosexual relationship but as the opposite gender. It's kind of weird. And that actually did happen. There was a female male who gave birth to a baby. And then the male, who is now female, was trying to breastfeed it. Trying to nurture it. And she's like, it's so hard not being able to, you know, provide. And yeah, because you're a dude. And I'm not saying that insensitively or to be mean. But the baby's the one who's going to suffer right now. Not going to get the nutrition it needs. Not going to get the normal, I mean, it might get love and affection, but I guess like the normalcy of development. Because it's going to be in a worldview that is not consistent with the world around it. So it's like living in a fantasy land. You ever play D&D? It's kind of like that, right? You get to make up a character, you get to be a race, you get to be a species or a class, and then you get to be all these other things. Maybe you possess magical powers, maybe you just have a really cool calculator and you defeat all your enemies with math or something. Whoever cares. D&D, you can make up whatever you want, and you live in a world where you get to do things within that world that is still make-believe. I mean, really, it could get really fucked up and crazy, but it gets boring.
That's why we need rules and structure and a certain way of things to be consistent. When things are consistent, we thrive, especially if it's in a positive consistency. If things are in negative consistency, we tend to be negatively impacted and things don't thrive, but we tend to want to revolt instinctively because that's the way we are as humans. But that's like what they're doing now. That's like the way they're living, is that if you are this other identification, it's like living a fantasy life. But it's actually adopting it into your real life. It's taking it a step too far. Because now things are not consistent with other things. Now things are not consistent with, you know, other people and other aspects of the world and how it operates. I could sit there and say I identify as a bird or as Superman, but there's no force in science that we know of. There's no force in the world currently that is going to allow me to do that without a plane, wings, air glider, or, you know, something to that effect. Now, here's where the danger comes in. Let's say I am convinced I'm Superman and I can fly. And let's say I go up to a ledge and test my hypothesis based on what I feel on the inside. Sometimes I do feel like I'm Superman. Sometimes I feel like I'm Batman. Sometimes I feel like DC is fucked up and dumb. Just kidding. I absolutely love DC. But sometimes I feel these things. That doesn't change anything of reality. Our feelings betray us the most. They really do. It can make us the most irrational. You know why? Because it cuts off the irrational portion of the brain. So if we want to be rational, we have to sometimes calm down, take a step back. Ignore our feelings. Let's look at it from a objectionable scientific point of view. And that's very difficult to do sometimes because we get in our own way. We are feeling it. There are people that think there's magic. There are people that think, oh, because we have 7 billion electrons in every, you know, in our body, because of every cell has an electron count of, I don't remember what it is. We're basically walking nuclear, I guess we're nuclear. I don't know. You know what? That's from a one of those Reiki shaman things. So I don't know how true that is. But we do have electricity running through our bodies. And they say that's how we use that healing. You learn to channel that energy. Yeah, with what? How do we learn that? How do we develop a force from our body to spread that energy? I do know one way in psychology that we cause our, you know, energy to project onto other people. It's with our smile. It's with our faces, our facial expressions, our body language, because that sends a signal to your ocular nerve, which sends a signal to your brain, causing a chemical release of good or bad. You've now influenced somebody else. Now I'm curious, if we're not happy with ourselves, if we're not feeling good, what does that do to our internal self-impression, right? So when you have somebody not happy with their body, when you have somebody who's not happy with their identity, it could be anything, not happy with themselves. How do we change that perspective? How do we avoid the conflict of enabling it and creating further harm? See, these are the things that I want to explore more. These are the things that I want to talk about more. And when I bring these up, I'm often met with a lot of opposition. I become the bad guy, even though I'm just trying to do what's right. I notice, I recognize things. Now, a lot of this happens in my head, and it comes out a lot clearer up there than it does coming out trying to explain it. Because once again, most of the time I'm going to offend somebody. I'm trying really hard not to. But that's sometimes you just can't say certain things without offending someone. And you know what? If you're offended, the only person that lets somebody else offend you is you. Now, I know some that doesn't change the fact that the nature of whatever was said or the action was offending. I get it. I'm not trying to say that that excuses me or makes it acceptable for me to do. Hey, but maybe I identify as an offending motherfucker. So you got to deal with it. No, what I'm trying to say is that the world becomes then supportive of this irrational feeling that you have about yourself and enables it and then praises it. Kind of like Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner. You know, suddenly, oh, he's so brave. There's a person on TikTok saying they're more brave for coming out as transgender than the military. Yeah, okay. These are very difficult topics. And it's been bugging me because I need to talk about it. Thanks for listening. You're essentially my unappointed therapist. It's difficult. It really is. The COVID situation is difficult because it's still going on. And there's a lot of conflicting information. People now that have the vaccine are still getting COVID. Oh, there's a new Delta variant. Oh, there's... Guys, I've never gotten it. I've never gotten it. How is that possible? I'm around people more than anybody else is during the whole pandemic. Well, maybe almost. You know, I'm one of those people that are around a lot of people. And you know what? I never got it. They got it. I never got it. Oh, that makes me sound like the spreader. No, not true. There's no such thing as asymptomatic. Because anybody can be asymptomatic of like 30 different diseases and viruses, but your body fights it off. That's why the first sign is a headache or a fever. If you have a fever, your body's trying to raise the temp to kill off the virus. That's why you get those. So that's when we kind of go on those things. But I haven't had that. I got a stomach bug. Lasted a week. Took out all my energy. And I don't remember pretty much anything of it. Oh, by the way, I apparently ordered something when I was back in April. And I didn't know it, but it just arrived. And I'm really excited. It's the new Zelda game that just got released. So I'm like, sweet, I surprised myself. By the way, the best time to order yourself something that isn't coming out for a while so you don't ever realize you ever ordered it is when you're sick. Just order things then. Hopefully I'm making a pretty decent argument for my case here that we need to support the parents and stop supporting children that are feeling this way because there are deeper issues. We don't need to find them, you know, an endocrinologist to help them with hormone treatment because we haven't even addressed the deep lying issues that are currently still going on. And that is very hard sometimes. I give a disclaimer to a lot of people I work with, okay? And it is, there are going to be days you hate me. There are going to be days you like me. There are going to be days that we get tremendous progress. And then there are going to be days it feels like we just went back, you know, to where we started or beyond that. It got even worse. But I said, but we're going to try. And we're going to try some things. We're going to learn. And we're going to develop what works. Because everything needs to be tailored. Nothing is cookie cutter. Nothing always works. Now, I always give suggestions. Sometimes it's based on past experience. And it will work. Or, well, you know, in theory, it would work. Or maybe it doesn't. And maybe we need to modify it a little bit. But the idea is to try out some ideas and see what works and what doesn't. But we got to do that as a team. We got to do that together or it's just going to fail. And it's just going to remain where it is. And that's not fun. And I'm also not a babysitter. Yeah, I do some babysitting technically, you know, watching kids and working with adults and stuff like that. Some of them need to be watched a lot because they just do. Things are not perfect. Some don't get the attention they need. Sometimes it's the parents' fault. Sometimes the parents are just struggling with so much, they don't even know, you know, what to do. They can't even get themselves up. I mean, whatever the case is. And it's very difficult. Sometimes they need somebody there. But you know what? That becomes very emotionally taxing. That's why I'm like, I need to start my podcast back up. I need to be able to talk about things. And I do need someone to listen because I need some feedback. And that's the hardest thing about this field, the mental health field. Because it's not cookie cutter. It's not one size fits all. There are these gender dysphoric issues. There are depression, severe depression issues. And that's ultimately what I relate gender dysphoria to, is severe depression. Behind everybody who doesn't like themselves or like their body is generally a parent or a caretaker that didn't show them the right kind of love. Didn't make them feel good about themselves and abused them or abused them, mistreated them, molested them. Who knows? I mean, there's always something there. That's why I have kind of an issue with the trying to force everybody else to use their pronouns and identify them as they want to be identified. It's not how the world works. I understand you're going through pain. I understand things are tough. But I think we're going to get into a world where if we don't keep doing this, the snowflakes, the people that, I know I'm saying a lot of trigger terms. Yeah, talk to me in the comment section. I'm not trying to trigger you, I promise. Just trying to keep it simple. But we're going to get where a lot of the people that are very sensitive, a lot of the people that are trying to live a fantasy life inside reality are going to succeed. And right now we're seeing a president who's a socialist. Well, an administration who's a socialist. And they're going to take over the world. It's going to happen. I'm pretty sure America's been bought by the Chinese or somebody. But they're funneling money through the use of the emergency funds to, you know, Pfizer, Moderna. You know who Moderna was started by? Fauci, Soros, and Bill Gates. And who's pushing the vaccines so hard? Is something not consistent? Does it just not make sense? Like, so many deaths from COVID, yet all the other flus, viruses, colds, those numbers went down significantly. So significant. I'm not saying, oh, it was, you know, 30 million people infected last year. This year it was 29 and calling that significant. I'm saying for the flu, it was like 30 million last year, the year before that, the year before that, the year before that, 60 million probably the year before that, and so on. And this year, it was like 4,000. Just, hey, stop reporting on those ones altogether. This virus is killing everybody. It also has flu-like symptoms. Well, if they show flu-like symptoms, hey, put that down on their card. Put that down is why they were sick and died. Oh, what? We got $34,000 for that death. Oh, okay. I'm pretty sure people had gotten COVID before COVID even became a big deal. And it was because there was like people were getting really sick and saying, well, we don't know what's wrong with you. We did 150 different viral tests and none of them came up. So this is really weird. Just go home and yeah. But then they started putting people on respirators. They all died. Oh, it exacerbated the process. We should probably take them off the respirator. Is, doctor, we just got, you know, 30 more respirator machines at like $3 million each. Oh, okay, but we don't need them. Just put them off to the side. Whatever it is. I mean, guys, does nothing make sense? I mean, if it was really a virus, if it was really that bad, if a vaccine was a cure, would it be free? You think a vaccine's going to be free? We have more people dying from cancer than we do anything else. Well, maybe. almost anything else. I don't get on me too much about the specifics on the stats and everything, but I'm sure you get what my point is. We have more people dying from every other cause than we do from COVID alone. Yet if a cure came out for cancer, you think they're going to do that for free? What they've done with this virus is made a global pandemic issue. And then they've spent $6.5 trillion on it. And they're funneling it through. And that's how they're making it free. Because where would that money go to make where does the money go to make a vaccine free? Hello? It goes to the fucking developers, the manufacturers that are making that damn thing. Fauci recently got called out. And it was for the gain of function over the virus and the gain of function research that he claimed NIH had no part of. So now criminal proceedings are being filed. Are Republicans finally doing something? When did we become so soft? Again, this is a very tough topic. This is very difficult to talk about because there's so many like eggshells. And seriously, I'm stepping on a lot of them. Again, don't take this as a means of me trying to insult you. That's not the idea. I'm not trying to insult everybody. I'm trying to get down to reality, to the actual truth of things. Again, if you're offended, it's only because you're letting me. But I'm also willing to talk about it and listen. Because I don't judge people for all the things they've been through. Where other people do. Because they're assholes. Other people are assholes. You could go through some very tough shit and they'd just be like, oh, well, you know, I also went through some tough shit and it was worse than yours. Asshole. You know, that's how you determine who your friends are. If they're always competing with you, well, that's nothing. I went through this. That's not a friend. At the most, that's an acquaintance. A friend's going to be somebody, hey, you know what? I too have gone through something like that. I'm very sorry to hear it. It's very tough. Let's talk. Right? Is that very sentimental? A little too sentimental for a podcast? It's very hard to deal with. And I'm trying my best. But I've been stressed out lately. I don't want to go to work. Because I'm dealing with so many problems and where I know there's an answer or way to help. Or where I know you need to push back a little. I'm being told I can't. I'm very limited in how I can operate. And so limited that other people where I have the ability to kind of work on some things and fix some things aren't even willing to talk about it because it's their way or the highway. Because my view doesn't align with theirs. What happened to our world? So my philosophy, or a part of it, it's not official. It's not like an official philosophy where I have it written down and I'm always constantly trying to mod it just so it sounds consistent with my view. But it's to talk about things, to find a reality, to find a common ground, to find all the different angles to something, and to push against, you know, what is not right. And it's not by belief. It's by, you know, the impact, positive or negative impact of things. Another philosophy is, you know, people can live how they want to live and defend that right of living. Now, that's Ayn Rand. What I'm saying in addition to that is people can live how they want to live. And if it negatively impacts them, to me, that's where we can improve and turn that into positive impacts. And impact means working with themselves, working with others, the impact it has on everything around them in their environment. So if being a different gender, identifying as, you know, or being in a relationship is in turn causing a negative impact. I'll give you, for instance, just so it doesn't seem like I'm always on the opposite side or the other side of things. There are people that are religious, for instance. Okay. You know, normal on every other aspect of everything that we've been talking about or on, you know, just, yeah. So, but there are people that are religious that have these beliefs. Well, marriage is until death do you part. Now, the issue with that is that's a goal. Everyone thinks, well, that's what I committed to. That's what I said. I'll take any and all abuse to just, you know, go through that. And that's bull. Because religion, God, has not done anything to give us without a doubt that he is the creator. He is God. He is the one in control of things. Or at the very most, if he can't prove that he created everything, he at least shows he can be in control of everything. And there's a lot of issues that come from that, but he hasn't done that. So we have a belief in something when our life is negatively impacted, but, you know, our belief is that, you know, we are with each other till death do us part in a marriage. But it's like, you guys don't understand, that's poetic. It's a poetic thing. And it sounds good. That is the goal. That's a promise you're making in conditions that didn't later develop. Sometimes the conditions later develop that, you know, maybe they have a addiction of some kind. Maybe they become abusive. Maybe there's mental illness. Maybe there's something else. But whatever it is, you know, you're not able to manage in a positive way. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you do got to work through it. But if there's no change to it, it's been going on for years, you've tried everything and exhausted all your resources, at some point you got to make a decision for yourself. Look, I got to move on. I can't afford to sit here any longer and allow my life to keep being tarnished. I need to be happy. I'm working hard for, you know, money, and then it gets blown off, blown away. On something stupid. You guys ever watch Dr. Phil and see those people that are sending money to, you know, their supposed, like, fiance or going to be wife in another country, and they've never met them? Seriously, at times I'm like, I gotta get on that. I can make $150,000 just by having a fake relationship with people over a phone. Sign me up. You know, I mean, that's something that I think about sometimes. How do I make a lot of money? Start an Amazon corporation. How do I beat Soros, or not Soros, Bezos at his own game? You know, that guy can, like, give away $1 billion a day and still make money that year. Like, that's how much money he's making. It's something stupid. But anyways, here's the thing. We got to work hard. Life isn't easy. Life is not meant to treat us with this luxurious, you know, you get to go through it and bad things just aren't supposed to happen. Viruses just aren't supposed to happen. You know, abuse and other things aren't supposed to happen. No, we are in this world to survive. Where we begin to thrive, however, is when we've moved past surviving. We don't need to move backwards. We need to move forwards. Continue to thrive. But things are going to get hard, and we can't forget that. Just because you lock your door at night doesn't mean you are safe in your home. Makes you feel safe, doesn't mean you're 100% safe. Just because you have cameras on your home doesn't mean you're safe either. It just means you're safer. Because now you can see what's going on outside your house. And prepare. But just because you live in a nice neighborhood doesn't always mean everything nice is going to happen there either. You ever have that Ring app? You ever go on Ring? By the way, these are not all product plugs. I'm just, you know, bringing up the obvious here. But if those companies would like to reach out and pay me for anything, please. But if you ever use Ring Or have one of those security camera, you know, but the Ring app is specifically is what I'm talking about. There's so many notifications of people getting their stuff stolen, cars broken into, weird people at their doors, and they live in really nice, you know, suburb homes. Really nice homes, really nice neighborhoods. This impression that we're safe when we're not is ridiculous. And that, again, kind of circles back to having a fantasy world inside of reality. Reality is it's a tough fucking planet. And we're always trying to survive. When you drive, you are trying to survive. It's not luxurious. It's not, you have to pay attention to the road. Or you will crash, get seriously injured, or die. You also hear about, you know, gun crimes lately. You ever hear about that? They're blaming the guns, not the criminal. And in San Francisco, they raised the limit for theft to some, like, was it like $1,000? You could go in and get a big screen TV, walk right out, and they can't even stop you because there's a no confrontation law or policy now. The cops won't even come because it's a misdemeanor, not even a felony. What does that do for small businesses? Why are the big business company conglomerates just making away with everything right now? How about we close them down during the next shutdown? Let's close them down and see what happens. Just for once. Let's just see. Let's get rid of all the toilet paper again. How about this time it's toothpaste? We get rid of all the toothpaste, everyone gets cavities and bad teeth, and dentists make even more money. What then? How about that? It's absolutely ridiculous. The world is going nuts. We don't have to. You've listened to my podcast, you understand what I'm saying. We don't have to go nuts either. We can combat this. And no, I don't mean physically, you crazy weirdos. I mean that we can combat it without physics, using our minds, our morals, our ethics, our beliefs. Nobody likes a criminal, right? Nobody likes a criminal. Democrats, Republicans, socialists, communism, whatever. No one likes a criminal. So I don't see that being an argument, but you know what? Disarming all your good, honest people, where the criminals are going to have guns no matter what, and you're calling it a gun problem? Not rational. Not rational at all. I hope you guys have enjoyed my podcast. I know it's a little unconventional, a little different than before. I've had a lot on my mind. Like I said, I needed to talk. You guys are my unappointed therapists. Well, listeners, my unappointed therapy listeners. If podcasting was an emotional support animal, this would be the podcast. I thank you. And I appreciate any feedback, criticism, ridicule, hate mail. Please don't send me hate mail, guys. Positive impacts, okay? But I want to have a good conversation about this, a positive conversation, because I think we can have it. It's tough. It's going to be emotional. You might hate me. I might hate you. But there are days that we might like each other, and there are days that we may go way too far back and start from the beginning. We can always hit the reset button, sort of, figuratively, hypothetically speaking, in a fantasy world. We can't hit the reset button on reality. That's the Adam Paradox. Thanks.